Can you state your name?
My name is Professor Gerald Pollo, and I'm a professor of Latin American and U.S. Latino history.
Sorry. Dr. Pollo, how long have you been teaching at St. Mary's, and how long have you been teaching in general?
I've been at St. Mary's since the fall of 1992. And before that, I taught for about a year and a half, almost 2 years, at Florida International University in Miami. And before that, I worked as a researcher and a museum curator at the Institute of Texan Cultures in downtown San Antonio. And along the way, when I was a museum curator, I taught a course every semester at San Antonio College, at either San Antonio College downtown or UTSA.
Have you always taught Latin American history, or did you dabble in different fields of study?
Well, Latin American history is the area that I specialized in. In the early years, teaching at San Antonio College and UTSA, I taught almost exclusively U.S. history because they didn't teach Latin American history. At Florida International University, I taught Cuban history and I taught Latin American history. And then when I came to St. Mary's, I started teaching U.S. Latino history and Mexican American history, in addition to Latin American history and U.S. history.
I did not know that. That's why. I always thought you were just a Latin American history professor. That's why.
Well, you get your field of specialization, but especially if you go to small universities like St. Mary's, because the departments are small, then you have to try to teach, you have to expand your teaching. Unlike if you go to like a major university, like UT Austin or something, you teach your specialty and that's all you teach. It's kind of nice to be at a smaller place where you can expand your teaching experience.
Yeah, I agree. So how would you have described your class structure pre-pandemic?
Class structure?
Yes.
And what do you mean by structure?
Was it very interactive in person? Have you ever done like a lot of online courses before?
No, I had never taught online courses, and I had promised myself that I would never teach online courses because I believe so much in being in the classroom and being with students. I think that there's something to be said for face-to-face teaching. In my earlier years, I spent a lot of time doing lecturing because that's the way, that's what you did. That's the way that, that professors, taught mostly was, at least history professors was through lectures. And over time, I, started doing, less lecture and more discussion, conversation. And now today I don't really do much lecture anymore. I do mostly, I try to lead the classroom conversation into a particular direction and add lecture material as I go. But it's my assumption always that if the students come to class and they've read their assignments, there's no reason to lecture, but rather to take a deeper look at the material that the students have already read.
In March 2020, we were announced that we were going to get an extra week of spring break to allow us to transition to online classes. How did you react to that announcement?
Well, I reacted as we all did. They weren't asking us to do it. They were telling us to do it. So despite my trepidations, I decided that I would this would be a good time to take advantage and to learn a lot of stuff about technology that I had never really taken the time to learn. My idea about technology was you learn it when you absolutely have to use it. Since my job was mostly teaching, and I did a lot of, and then writing, researching and writing, I didn't really need a lot of the emerging technologies for what I do. But once we had to go online, then everything changed, and we had to take a new attitude and move forward.
How did you feel emotionally about it? Were you scared, nervous?
I wasn't nervous. I was or scared. I was a bit concerned as to how quickly I could learn all of the things that I needed to learn. But really, when things closed down in March, the only thing that I really had to learn at that point was how to use Zoom. And so we took the existing class that was already had in place, and rather than going to the classroom, I just did it on Zoom. So I thought, well, this is not too hard. So after fumbling around a bit and learning how to do Zoom, then we worked through the rest of the semester. And it was, it went well. But that was just the first taste, because after the semester ended, then we were informed that we all had to be certified to teach online. The university has a certification program for any professor who wanted to teach online, and frankly, that was one of the things that sort of persuaded me that not to go online, because then I'd have to spend a whole summer going through this very which turned out to be quite a rigorous course, and I never really wanted to spend my summers doing that. I wanted to spend my summers doing research and writing. So I had never really moved in the direction, but now in that direction. But now I had no choice. We all had to be certified, and we all had to be prepared to go into the fall semester.
What changes did you make this class? As you said, you had more discussion. Conversational type in-person classes? Is that the structure you're still trying to keep now that you're online?
Yeah, pretty much. In fact, one of the things let me just go back. The main thing that changed in my course was that online, at least through the certification program, we were required to set up the entire syllabus with the entire course already completed. That is, in my experience, I would have a syllabus, mm-hmm. but exactly what, you know, exactly each week, exactly what, for example, if I had a quiz or a test or some other activity, that wouldn't necessarily be on my syllabus that I handed out at the beginning of the semester, in terms of the actual questions, for example, that I might ask. And then the other part is that we were encouraged very strongly to learn how to do the discussion forum. The discussion forum was really the same thing that it did in class. That's the way I used to think about it. But actually, as it turned out, the discussion forum is really an additional complement to the classroom discussion. And I found that very, very useful, so that So that the way the class is structured now, students are assigned a reading. They come in in this semester, for example, on a Tuesday. Then we talk about the reading. Students and the students then will get a participation grade based on the participation of that day on the readings. And the way that is set up on Canvas, that you can just add the grade, you know, as soon as the class is over, you can just add the grade, right? Then during the week, Tuesday to Thursday, I have the discussion forum, and the students then have to read in the second text that we have, which is a documents text. The students have to read that documents text, and then they have to post answers to particular prompts that I ask about those documents. So that by Thursday, when they come into class, then we're ready to discuss the documents and broaden the documents, right? And then on the basis of the readings from the first text and the documents in the second text, by the end of the week, then the students will write a weekly paper in which they summarize and reflect on the theme for the week. And so what this online course made me do was to structure the course much more clearly for students, since we were in this sort of strange situation where sometimes the internet worked, sometimes it didn't. So it all had to be available there for them. And so I thought it was a really good learning experience for me. I learned how to do all the technology stuff on Canvas, all the discussion boards and all of these other things. How to video, record, et cetera. And to be much more reflective about what I wanted students to do each week. So it made me think the course ahead much more thoroughly than I had traditionally done in the classroom teaching. So I found that really quite enlightening, and it's something, of course, that I'll probably continue to do whether I'm in the classroom or not.
What issues are you getting in regards to the internet? Could be an issue of sometimes I'm not showing up at the right time. For my instance, I'm in mountain time zone and San Antonio is in central time. So for me, it was really hard to adjust to that time zone because my classes were reflecting a different time. So in my head, I would be like, I have class at 2, but it's actually 1. Is that an issue that you saw with a lot of your students this semester?
No, I didn't find that at all. I think I can't think of a student really that was outside the time zone. I had one student who was in Honduras, or who is in Honduras. And I don't know if the time is exactly the same there or not, but it wasn't a problem for her. The time issue really was not a problem for me. I guess the most disconcerting part was the issue of not being able to see the students' faces. It took me a long time to get used to the idea that I would just be talking to these little black boxes, except for a couple students or two students who regularly turned on their videos, and the rest of them, although I encouraged them to, didn't. So I only had two students who would turn on their videos, and I don't know exactly why, but I do know that sometimes the students would not really be there behind that little black box. And so I always had to be had to be sure to be calling on everybody to be sure that they were actually there. And we got into a bit of a, with a couple students, a bit of a cat and mouse game, where it wasn't clear to me that they were there, or if they were there, or they said they were away, they had stepped away for a minute. Anyway, it was a little disconcerting to have to worry about that and to be thinking about that. The other part that was sometimes problematic is the student mics often didn't work. But sometimes I got the impression that if they didn't know the answers to the questions I asked in class, they would say their mic's not working. And so, you know, that also was a bit problematic, sometimes trying to figure out, especially if they're getting a participation grade for classroom participation. And so how do I evaluate their participation when they're not, either able to talk to me, or maybe they use that as an excuse when they don't really have the answer. So those kinds of things, they're not really terrible, and they weren't really traumatic, but they were things that I had to sort of deal with, which you wouldn't have to in a regular classroom.
Did you have any issues with technology?
With what?
Did you have any issues with internet or technology connecting to your classroom?
I didn't really have any problems at all. I know I had students who had problems, who couldn't get on, or they got kicked out, or it was unstable. But I think all in all, it was pretty good. Not there weren't that many problems.
What advantages do you see online learning having on your career and your ability to teach in the future, now that you've had this long experience and all these, now that you're, especially since you're certified now, how do you think that event is, that's an advantage to your career?
Well, I think the main effect, the main thing is that if I'll be able to support the department if it decides that it needs more online courses, or for example, the graduate program is right now during this year totally online.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, I don't know if it will be totally online, but online will certainly continue to be an important piece of it. And so that allows me to support the department in that sense and teach those courses online. So I think that's a great benefit for the department and great benefit for me, because then I can continue to teach in the graduate program.
Mm-hmm.
Also provides the possibility of expanding our undergraduate online courses. We've never had an online very many online courses. We in the past had taught, Dr. Van Hoy, for example, would teach some online courses in the summer. So she was the vanguard of our online teaching, and she was the only one that did it some years ago. But now we can expand that, and we could teach classes during the regular year if we need to or want to. So I think that's the main benefit for me. The other benefit might be that I've learned also how to do meetings online, and the department has been doing a lot of presentations online. And in the future, we'll probably be doing some webinars. And so those are all things that I've learned how to do. And once we go back to regular time, regular things, I don't know if we'll continue to use this technology in this way. But if we need to, we certainly know how to do it.
If you were offered right now to go back onto campus, would you go back onto campus? Do you think it's something that you see as an important part of your class right now, like going onto campus and teaching in front of your students, or do you think it's
As of right now, I had the opportunity to go back to campus, but for the spring, but I chose not to. I have just turned 70.
Oh, congratulations!
And I'm in that high risk category.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't make any sense for me, I don't think, to go back into the classroom, even though they seem to be doing a very good job. It seems to me that I would rather just wait till I get my vaccine. And then I'd be happy to go back to the classroom. In fact, I'll insist on it.
I think you should wait. I think it's best for your safety. I think your safety comes before everyone else.
Well, that's what I think too. There's no point in getting sick if you have an alternative.
How do you feel now about online teaching? Since you did say you promised yourself in the past that you weren't going to online teach, how do you feel about now? Like, would you per se want to do online teaching only now, or maybe do expand your online teaching to other different avenues, maybe help other universities in their online teaching?
Well, my whole view of online teaching has changed dramatically, really. And I think, you see, when online teaching first developed, it was very low tech. And there was no Zooming, things like that. It was just, you just put your course online and you email back and forth or chat back and forth somehow. I don't know exactly how it was done. And it just seemed like it was and there was no real contact, real-time contact with students. So I guess I developed my attitude about online teaching from that time. And it wasn't until last spring that when I actually had to do it, I saw how much the technology had advanced. And Zoom, I'd heard about Zoom, but I'd never used Zoom before last March. And I was really surprised at what a wonderful tool it is and how you can engage on Zoom as easily as you can engage in the classroom. And then the discussion board, which of course we've always had on Canvas. I hadn't ever used too much because, frankly, I never wanted to take the time to learn how to do it effectively. I thought, well, if I can do discussions in class, why would I want to do discussions online? But doing it, having this experience, I've learned that those two things can be very complementary, that you can do both and have different objectives in the classroom from the objectives online in the forum, right? So by getting really deeply involved in it, I could see more clearly the different options. And with the technology the way it is, it really makes it interactive. It makes it so that you can engage. You can do a lot of things that I never knew you could do. So I'm happy to continue teaching online, but certainly not exclusively. I don't want St. Mary's to turn into a University of Phoenix. I know that's where you are, right?
No, I'm in El Paso.
Oh, you're in El Paso. I thought you were a Phoenix person.
No, that's Gerardo.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. So we don't want to turn into a school that's exclusively online, obviously. But for being able to attract more students, for example, in the graduate program, we have a couple students now who are one's in Utah, and I don't know where the other one is, but they're only taking those courses. They're only enrolled in our program this semester because they could do it online. Now, I don't know if that's, I don't know if once the virus is gone, they'll come back, they'll come here, or whether they'll want to finish the whole program online. I don't know about that yet. So I've appreciated learning all this, and I'll continue to use it as long as it's useful for me and for the department. But I do not want to replace my in-class teaching with that. So.
What is one thing you would like people to understand about a professor's point of view during a pandemic of online teaching? It's something that not a lot of people have thought about, of what the teachers, the educators are going through. We've mostly have been focusing on the students' perspective, the administration struggles. How do you want people to understand from your perspective what has happened and what's going on?
Well, I think probably the thing that people may not understand is how much extra effort and work it took to transform an entire faculty in a matter of really 5 months from a faculty that's primarily classroom focused, and to transfer that into an entire faculty that can teach online. I think that's been a really big commitment by the faculty, and in the face also of the uncertainty of keeping jobs. There are a lot of faculty that lost their jobs. Not our full-time faculty, but our adjunct faculty. And in the uncertainty of what's going to what happened to our benefits have been cut, and whether we'll ever get that back or not, who knows? And our salaries have been cut, and I think we all understand why. And I don't think anybody not many people opposed the idea because it had to be done, but there was a lot of stuff was going on. Affecting our lives. And I think that our faculty at St. Mary's stepped up in a big way and have done a great job. But, you know, we just did what we had to do, and I'm not sure how many people out there in the world really know much about that. Right?
Yeah.
Lots of times people say, oh, a university professor, he teaches at he teaches two courses a day, and then he goes home, right?
That's not the case, I know. I've seen you in the office so very late, so I know how much work you put into it. So
that's all of us. We all work hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just as you all do.
What do you think St. Mary's did well in preparing you guys for these online classes?
What do we think that St. Mary's did well?
Yes, in preparing you for the online classes. What type of support did they offer you?
Well, St. Mary's, it turns out that St. Mary's has one heck of an academic technology department. they're always there, but it's like everything else. If you have a Canvas problem, you know, you call them up and you say, well, I've had this Canvas problem or whatever it is. But this was a whole new level of demands on them. They were working day and into the night to teach us, first of all, to teach us all of this, and secondly, to support whatever technology problems that we had in terms of how to solve technology problems that we had in order to be able to be online. So I think there was a lot of investment to do additional upgrading the technologies, and I don't know exactly everything they did, but they did it, and they did it quickly, and they did it quite efficiently. So what we did as faculty members, we couldn't have done without that that really commitment and investment by the academic technology. I suppose not. I mean, for us, we dealt with academic technology, but obviously the entire technology group at the university.
I know we have talked a little bit about the new method you added to your course, like the discussion board.
Yes.
Are there any other ones that you look for, you want to try out in your next semester, in the spring semester? Any new technology themes? Like, I know, for example, Dr. Wick uses Flipgrid, which is a way of discussion board through videos. Uh-huh. Is there any different avenues you want to take that you have, I guess, shared with other professors in the department?
Well, I learned how to do the videotaping so that I can do lectures if I need to, but I never really used that because I decided not to do lectures in the classroom, in the Zoom meetings. As I mentioned, I decided that I would put a lot of pressure on the students to, and one of the reasons I could do this is because it was a relatively small class, 15 students, so that the students were expected to come in having read the assignments, and then the class time would be direct conversation with the students, which included and involved calling on students and calling on all the students throughout the class time. And so if it's a bigger class, you know, if you got 25 students or something, that's a lot harder to do, and maybe you need the lecture. But with the smaller classes, you can have the conversation with the students, and if they're not getting something, then you can sort of go into a mini lecture, if you will, or a series of mini lectures during the course class time to clarify, to go deeper, to do things that student to get into areas that the students ask about or didn't quite understand very well. So I found that interactive approach a lot more satisfying, I think, for students. I think the students liked it more. And for me, it allowed me to be more flexible and to be able to think in real time about which direction I wanted to take the material. If I have a lecture already pre-recorded, then it's not as dynamic, right? So I didn't really use that video. I don't know if I will in the future. It depends on maybe the size of the classes. In the past, I have already used, with Canvas, I've used lots of films. I didn't use films this year because, so far, because I find that the Canopy site, which we use for films, has been cut so badly that we hardly get any films anymore. So the films that I use, I can't really access them anymore because the university is cutting back because of the financial crisis. So each film that you watch on Canopy, the university has to pay for each time that it's viewed. And so, I would have many, you know, in my, not all my classes, but many of my classes, I use a lot of films. And so then what happens is that since they can't afford them anymore, then they are cutting them back. So this semester, rather than fighting to see where I could find these films, I just decided not to use them until I can figure out how to get to them. The stuff that Dr. Wick does is all beyond me right now. It's all way beyond what I know about or can do, so I'm hoping to learn more and more from her, as I am already on in the public history program. I'm learning how to use Omeka, for example, and so I'm more intrigued by the technology than I was before.
I think that is all my questions. Kind of went in random order.
Okay. The history department has worked together very well in all of this. So I think we've been lucky.